As much as Donald Trump loves to talk about draining the swamp is worse than ever because he brought in his own swamp people. He has lobbyists filling out his government, and he has lobbyists who are picking his judicial nominees, and it's just that swamp culture.
Hello, this is the Great Battlefield Podcast. I'm Nathaniel G. Perlman. A great political battle is being fought right now between progressives and the forces of reaction on the other side. This show is about the political entrepreneurs and other progressive leaders who are finding new or improved ways to fight. Christopher Purcell is a former Republican White House staffer for 6 years under President George W. Bush, who's one of the organizers of 43 Alumni for Biden. 43 Alumni for Biden is a group of former Republican staff under the most recent President Bush, the 43rd president, who are now campaigning for Vice President Biden. When you talk to Christopher, you get a dose of hope that there are Republicans really not on board with a Trump train wreck. Christopher and I had a very interesting conversation. I hope you'll listen. So, after a quick word from our sponsor, my interview with former Republican White House staffer Christopher Purcell.
This episode is brought to you by Graphicacy. Graphicacy is an analytic design firm that can help you advance the mission of your organization using your own real data and information. They are 21st century visual communicators who create interactive graphics, motion graphics, and data visualizations. You can find Graphicacy at graphicacy.com. That is GRAPHICACY.com. With Graphicacy's help, you can visualize a better world.
So, would you mind introducing yourself and giving me a quick biography?
Sure. I'm Chris Purcell. I worked in the Bush White House for a total of 6 years. I also worked on both of his campaigns, and I was in Iraq for a year with the State Department. I have been active at least up until the end of 2016 in Republican politics since I turned 18 years old. After 2016, I felt the need to get away from politics. And so I'm in Northern California right now.
What do you do right now?
I'm working in tech world. So I do communications out here now. So very different. It's a nice change.
How did you get into politics originally?
I was in college and I was just interested in it. And I started volunteering on campaigns and active in college Republicans and that sort of thing. And I started interning on the Bush campaign in 2000 when I was a wee college student.
What was the reason that you picked the college Republicans rather than the college Democrats, for example?
I'm a generally politically conservative person. The reason why is that, you know, I was really drawn to then Governor Bush's kind of compassionate conservative message. I don't know how well you all remember this, but, you know, back then, well, especially under Newt Gingrich, the view of Republicans was very harsh. And, you know, President Bush's message is that we can achieve progressive ends through conservative means. We can pass smart legislation, small government legislation that still takes care of people. And we can engage, you know, the private sector. We can engage religious institutions. So, you know, I was really drawn to being able to achieve societal good, but without the need for a monstrous federal government or state government.
I feel nostalgic for that view coming out of the Republican Party.
Oh, me too, for sure. It's long gone now.
And it seemed to be an important balance, I thought, to have that view of things in there to modulate each other, the two parties. Whereas something has happened to the Republican Party in the era of Trump, and I think to some parts of it before, that is rather more toxic.
I've had a number of people kind of reach out and say, you want to talk about making America great again? I mean, like, let's make America great again by having two functional parties who aren't running to the extremes. Let's have those debates in public. Let's have those debates in Congress. and let's figure out a way to have some common sense legislation that impacts people's lives in a positive way. And that's just gone right now. Things are so hyper partisan. You know, everything's become very tribalized. I've kind of compared it to if you are Jewish or Catholic or Baptist, but you weren't active. You know, you didn't really go to church or synagogue, but you still identify as that. You know, when people say, "Oh, you know, what are you?" "Oh, I'm Catholic." You know, and it's kind of like that with politics now. It's like, you know, you're either Republican, you're a Democrat, or you just don't want to have anything to do with politics at all. It's really hard to get people off of that mindset. So that's one of the goals of the organization I've helped start. It's 43 alumni for Joe Biden. We're all people who either worked for President Bush in the administration or through, you know, the various party apparatus during his tenure. What we're trying to do is basically say, it's okay. Like, you know, you can stay a Republican or independent, a Democrat, whatever you are now, but it's okay to do something that you've never done before. And that is, for many people, vote for the Democratic nominee for president. You know, it's okay. So we're kind of trying to create that safe space for people to come forward and say, yes, I don't agree with what's happening. I don't agree with Donald Trump. They can have their own reason for it. That, you know, they may want to get back to the normal Republican Party again, or, you know, maybe they've left. But we just want people who are historically Republican, we want them to feel comfortable in coming out and saying, you know, I support Joe Biden.
So tell me about who is organizing this along with you. How did that come together and actually form an organization? What's the founding story there?
It came out really organically. I mean, you know, many of us had strong opinions on the Trump presidency and hadn't been too shy about sharing those. As individuals, we've been thinking, well, you know, what's a way we can do something that has a bigger impact? And it, really the catalyst was the protests that we saw and then Donald Trump's reaction by sending in troopers to Lafayette Park to clear out a bunch of kids with cardboard signs. It was really upsetting. One of my former colleagues, Karen Kirksey, she worked on the Bush campaign in 2000 and at the Department of Agriculture. She's a lifelong Republican African American woman. She was upset and she said, you know, I'm gonna do something. So I'm just gonna file for a political action committee. She didn't really spread it around. She hadn't started contacting folks yet, but the filing got into a news story, and so everybody started contacting her, like, what can we do? How can we make this work? And so it really took off. So, I mean, literally within a couple of days, you know, a few of us got together and we started just a private Facebook page, and we had the interest of around 200 people within about 2 or 3 days, people that we could verify were former administration officials. So we just started organizing. And so here we are now. So we launched yesterday, July 1st. You know, we're starting to raise money. We're not going to raise like $50 million or anything, but we're going to make this a grassroots effort to recruit not just former administration officials, but also recruit kind of, as I said before, historical Republican voters. The reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. I've been contacted by a lot of people I haven't heard from in, you know, 10 plus years. People that I hadn't really stayed in touch with who are just saying, hey, I'm in, what can I do? Not everybody can be public because of their job or just because they don't want to be harassed by Trump supporters. But the reaction has been really strong and really positive, and I'm really pleased. I get a little misty on some of the messages I receive because, you know, I'm just really proud of a lot of the people that I used to work with.
What's your personal sense? There's a lot of people that work in government, but political appointees, people who came in through, you know, through the campaign and through appointment like that. What's your sense of, you know, rough percentage that might go for Biden over Bush?
I've been trying to kind of pinpoint a number on that. I think I need to go back and check some of the, with kind of the Bush Center, like on their website and try and get a better number of the total alumni that are out there. So I can't quite put a percentage on it, but I feel like it's significant. Yeah, as I said, I worked at the White House. I was there for 6 years. So I may not personally know, everybody who worked in the White House over that time period, but I'm generally familiar with the vast majority of them. The number is pretty strong among that group. And most of those people were not like lifelong, D.C. folks prior to the administration. So, they came from all over. Some worked on the campaign, some worked elsewhere. But I think the number's pretty strong. But maybe at some point we can kind of get to that percentage where we can figure out what the percentage is. But I really think it's strong.
Strong mean half, a quarter, three quarters?
I would say definitely over a quarter. My hope is that it's probably somewhere around half.
When you said you receive positive feedback, that means there's a lot of people feeling that way. I assume you've also received some negative feedback, people who feel like you're traitors to the party, or I don't know how they would put it, but what are you hearing from the people who are still loyalists?
Now, this, of course, excludes the, Twitter trolls and those types. But in terms of like people we actually know, not too many have been like super negative about it. A couple people posted just something like Trump 2020 on like my Facebook post. But generally, it's the ones you kind of expected. Generally, it hasn't been like overly personal, but it's also difficult for us to like not respond in an overly personal way. So it's going to be a test for us of our ability to kind of hold our tongues and not be negative.
You sort of indicated that the Trump election took you out of politics. Can you give me your view on that as the primary went forward? Whose camp were you in, and what were you thinking about this guy, and how did you respond to his election?
Yeah, so I actually was working with the Rubio campaign. I was not a full-time staffer. I was basically a contractor to do like kind of media type stuff. I was motivated to work with his team. I thought he was a great candidate at the time, and I also saw the need to try and help somebody that could keep Trump at bay. I mean, I did not expect him to win the primary, but I was concerned that his rhetoric was picking up steam. So I was with the Rubio team, and when that ended, it was a little bit of an existential crisis. As somebody who had worked in Republican politics for, God, like 18 years, basically, working in politics and government had been the center of my life. So I was like, well, what the hell do I do now?
What was it about Trump that made you feel that way?
It was just visceral. I always kind of saw him as just a TV clown before, but then, when he started gaining support, it was really difficult because, I knew the party had been drifting away already, and that was why I saw Senator Rubio as an antidote for that, with people like Governor Haley and Senator Tim Scott. They had both endorsed Rubio, and I was there for some of those events and interviews where the three of them were kind of talking about the future of the Republican Party. They weren't quite saying it outright, but they were kind of indicating that this can kind of be the new face of the party. It wouldn't just be an old white guy party. It wouldn't be rhetorically harsh and just kind of the party of no. They had ideas, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of Bush 99, 2000 era, kind of that sort of compassionate conservative sort of message. So when Trump got the nomination, there was just kind of nothing else to do but try and get myself out of politics. It was just a really visceral reaction to Trump himself. Everybody saw his announcement and talking about, Mexicans being killers and rapists and these other things. It was a very negative initial reaction and a little bit of panic that there were so many people who were attracted to that.
And as he's governed for over 3.5 years now, I guess, how have you watched that?
I mean, generally in horror, I mean, it's tough to see just as not so much as somebody who's in politics, but you know, just as an American citizen, just to watch the country just be debased. We have just lost our respect in the world. We've kind of lost that moral authority that we had. It's just why I'm hopeful that Vice President Biden will win this election. You know, I might not agree with him on all of his policy issues, but one thing I am confident of is that he can start to restore that moral authority. You know, he's a person of honor and integrity. We just have to have that in a leader. It's just so important that our leaders don't have to be perfect, but they just have to be decent human beings who care about the country, who put the country first rather than themselves. So, you know, that's really all we can ask for in a leader.
Would you say that's a kind of consensus among 43 alumni for Biden that he's a decent guy and he's not Trump?
Yeah, 100%. This would be very different, to be frank, if the Democratic nominee had been, you know, Bernie or Warren. The group probably wouldn't have started. We would have voted for them. Maybe we would have, done a write-in candidate again. Joe Biden has established himself as a, you know, as a center left sort of person. People love to talk about the gaffes, and those are funny to point out. And I've certainly pointed out more than a few of those over the years, but it doesn't come from a bad place. And you know, people know that about him. They know he's a kind, decent person who's thoughtful and caring. And you know, you can really see that a lot of times, and you certainly see that you know, when he talks about his late son, it's something that, you know, I think everybody can kind of feel and connect to. I think that's why he's going to win, because he's better able to connect with people on a personal level. So I'm pretty confident that he'll win, but there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of things that can happen, and I expect the biggest disinformation campaign in history to come out of this current White House.
I do too. And I think it's far from over. When I look at commentary from friends on the left about Republicans who are for Biden, there's a mixture of things that I see. I see people who are very happy to have allies in this really critical election. And I see some skepticism about, what do they want? Does this mean that Biden's going to owe them something? Where are you guys on that? Is there something you're looking for?
We're looking for Donald Trump to be out of office. That's what we're looking for. In terms of the core people of my group, the, you know, 43 alumni for Biden, that core group, you know, we live kind of all over the place. We're not all just creatures of Washington. So it's not like we're like plotting for, you know, administration jobs or anything like that. That is absolutely not the goal. I mean, you know, maybe there are a couple people who would like that, but like that is absolutely not the goal of the group or most of us. We just need to get this country back on the right track. So we're willing to put our names out there. We're not big names. We are recruiting bigger names. We're recruiting names that I mean, certainly administration people will know very well and respect a lot, but we're also in contact with, you know, former cabinet secretaries and folks like that. And some of them may take a little more coaxing than others. They're going to kind of announce what they want to announce in their own time frame. But we're definitely having those conversations and trying to put together a really broad coalition. I think we can do a couple things. You know, one, we know how to speak to Republican voters. Republicans and Democrats really kind of talk in different languages. So, you know, I think we can do that. We can get some media attention on the fact that there are a lot of Republicans out there. There are a lot of people who have worked in government and politics who have really strong views on Donald Trump and what he's doing to the country.
There's always those unintended consequences of political action, right? One of the things that could happen is that you become a foil, a useful foil for Trump, and he can use you to run against Bush. Do you worry about that at all?
You know, I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, he's going to find somebody. So he always has to have a target. So it's fine. I think it's better to show that support than to not show it. One of the key demographics that has been moving away from the Republican Party and toward the Democratic Party is suburban women. They are generally speaking, Republican leaning. They generally would prefer to vote for Republicans. They have moved pretty strongly against Donald Trump because they don't agree with his rhetoric and his style and his governing. The way that Joe Biden is going to win is not just base versus base. And it's not even really kind of how the traditional independents swing in a couple of states. It's going to be by kind of moving the ball forward on this realignment that's happening. The way that I think the vice president is going to win the race is by not just by both getting out the vote of Black and Latino voters, but also getting those suburban Republican-leaning women to basically realign with the Democratic Party.
But you mentioned Karen Kirksey as one of the founders here and maybe the first mover. Who else is helping you organize that we should know about?
It's folks whose names you're not going to recognize. You know, we're all doing this on a volunteer basis. The donations that come in, we're not, using that to line our own pockets. We're not taking any money at all personally. But it's not names of people you know.
One of them I saw on the list is Michael Turk, who has actually been on my podcast and who I know.
I didn't talk to Turk about this yet.
He's on your website.
Oh, no. I just mean I didn't talk to him about coming on with you.
Oh yeah, no. I just saw a news article and friended you on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So no, but yeah, Turk is working with us. He's doing some great work on the digital side of things. So yeah, he's a sharp guy. I didn't know him prior to this.
Well, he definitely has a long background in the political technology arena for the RNC and elsewhere. Yeah. So it's people like that, right?
It's the people who made the trains run on time and who implemented the decisions that were coming from higher up. Yeah. We're also working closely with a number of people who were fairly senior in the Bush White House. So they're working with us. They have busy day jobs, so they're contributing as they can.
Anyone you can mention?
We're going to start putting out more names. I think I said before, we're being really careful about making sure we have people's permission before we start putting their names out in public. People need to check with their employers and stuff like that. Other people who we've been working really closely with on this and are doing a lot of behind the scenes work. One of them's a corporate spokesperson. So because of that job, can't be seen as endorsing candidates because that would kind of speak for their company. So, we run into some of those issues. There's a fair number of people that are working with us behind the scenes whose names you may know, but they may not be able to kind of say it publicly.
What are you going to do with money you raise?
So the intention is a couple things. So now keep in mind that, we're still trying to figure out what campaigning looks like in a COVID era. The main thing that we are looking to do in terms of with the funds, we're going to do a lot of free to do stuff. We're going to push on the digital side, social media side. We're going to have folks, record little vignettes of, I'm so and so. I was an assistant secretary at Treasury, and here's why I support Joe Biden. So, we'll do some of that free stuff, and really work hard to push that around and do earned media opportunities. But for the funds, we're looking to have a robust get out the vote effort. The Republican Party has for a long time been really strong on GOTV. They have a noted 72-hour program where they deploy thousands of people around to battleground states or to key districts. We, having done that sort of work, we would like to have that sort of program with as many Bush alumni and other volunteers, deploying to a handful of the most important states with the goal of talking to swing voters, talk to there's voter file information that we have. So you kind of know who to target and who to try and talk to. If the COVID situation remains like it is, we'll have to do it a different way, as will the Biden campaign and other campaigns around the country. So, we'll have to adjust strategy depending on that. But the goal is to put the money into a get out the vote effort. And if that can't be the case, then we will use it smartly elsewhere. Everything that we raise is going to go into helping elect Vice President Biden.
There's a lot of Republicans, prominent and not prominent, who must not share your view about Trump because they are helping him out or defending him or supporting him. What do you think of that, and how do you understand that when it's very clear to me, and it seems like it's clear to you, that this guy's just bad for the country and bad for the world?
It's difficult to see. It's especially difficult to see when it's people you know and have liked for a long time. You know, there's a few different types of people, and don't really want to get too much into it, but I'll just kind of say, you know, there's a few different groups. There are those who are Republicans, and that's just who they are. They are Republicans, and they will support the Republican because he's the Republican. So there's definitely a lot of those people. There's a lot of people who are just in the anti-liberal group, the own the libs thing. Whatever angers liberals the most is what they're for. As much as Donald Trump loves to talk about draining the swamp is worse than ever, because he brought in his own swamp people. He has lobbyists filling out his government, and he has lobbyists who are picking his judicial nominees. And it's just that swamp culture. It's either their particular self-interest, you know, their little issue, their little industry, or it's just a clutch on power. You think about the people who are serving in Congress, most of the people who just couldn't take it anymore, they just retired. They just got out of it. But people who want to stay in politics, with Trump having near complete control over the party and having turned it into kind of a cult of personality, if you want to stay in elected office, you either have to go all in with Trump, or you just have to try and keep quiet until the Trump era ends. Unfortunately, most people have gone in with the, you know, I'm all in for Trump point of view.
You're not the only Republican for Biden group. Obviously, the Lincoln Project has gotten a fair amount of note. What do you think of them, and who else do you see out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love those guys. You know, we love the work that they do. There are a lot of allies out there. They have the way they do things, and that's great. And the niche we are trying to carve out is that not all of us were in government. Some were in, you know, the party apparatus, like I said, but many of us served in, you know, what they call positions of public integrity. You know, we know what it's like to work in government. We know what a normally functioning government and administration looks like. And the current administration is not that. We kind of have that story to tell, that, you know, we worked for a person that, you know, you might not agree with his policies, but, you know, we know from having been there that he was making the decisions he made because he thought they were in the best interest of the country. So that niche is we've served in government. We can speak to disaffected Republicans, or, you know, people who have left the party over the years, and try and push them over into the Biden camp. We have a broad network. You know, each one of us has a lot of really outstanding people that we've worked with over the years. And we are hitting up that network to come out and do this publicly if they can.
Is there any way that you'll be coordinating with the Biden campaign? Like, it would be kind of fun if all fall, every day, there were notable and not notable Republicans coming out and endorsing him. Will you be connected to them, or would it be separate, independent?
So the Federal Election Commission has guidelines on what you can do and what you can't do. We have an outside counsel, not somebody who is affiliated with the Bush administration. And so he's going to kind of guide us on some of that. The red line is generally independent expenditures. So that would generally mean things like TV ads. So we're going to walk that line. But based on that guidance, that legal guidance that we get, we'll coordinate as much as possible. That may mean siloing off some of our people where you're not involved in certain decision making, but yeah, as best as possible, you know, we're gonna try and you know, keep on the same page and not duplicate efforts, because I mean, they're obviously talking to to a lot of Republicans and former office holders themselves. So, we want to be aligned in what we're doing and, not step on any toes and not bombard people with requests from multiple organizations.
Is there a question that I haven't asked that you wish I had?
This is a volunteer effort. You know, we have a certain expertise and experience. We think we can both contribute to the national conversation, but also do the grassroots, behind the scenes work that is necessary to try and flip votes. As we continue to talk with people, kind of hear them out on, what their position is and their general viewpoint, we'll be able to kind of hone the messaging for outreach to people who still want to be Republicans, but just don't like Donald Trump. And so, there's some of that in my family as well, where some of them kind of avoid the news and kind of cover their ears and just kind of want to wish not just COVID away, but, wish away the Trump era, but they've never voted for a Democrat before. It's in all those conversations that you kind of get a better idea of where people stand, what's important to them, and better understand, how we can turn those not really happy with Trump to at least, if not vote for Joe Biden, at least get them to a place where they're not voting for Trump. So it's conversations that all of us need to have, and I would just kind of encourage, you and others to learn how to talk to Republicans in a Republican sort of way. You're not going to win them over with certain arguments. So, really focus on why Donald Trump is bad for the country and why, even though they're not going to agree with Vice President Biden on most issues, including, a lot of the hot button cultural issues, but why it's important for the country to have stability and a decent person in office to get ourselves out of this chaos that we're in now. It would be wonderful to go back to a period in time where you're not thinking about who the president is every day and the damage that he's doing to the country. I would just encourage everyone to just kind of learn how to speak to those Republicans, people that you know personally online or in person or in video chats. Encourage them to come on over. It's kind of like the water's warm. It's okay. It's okay to hop in. Don't lash out at people who had, worked in other administrations or for, Speaker Ryan or Speaker Boehner. When you see people doing the right thing, encourage them.
I personally am encouraging you and your group, and I appreciate to have you as allies for this time. And I thank you for taking the time to talk to me about it. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to do it. Yeah, just get out there, folks. The election's not over. The election isn't a poll. That's a snapshot in time. So you have to be vigilant. You have to keep working at it, and just don't take it for granted. We don't know what voting will look like in November. We know that there's an active campaign by the Trump White House to not just spread misinformation, but to keep people away from the polls. Everybody needs to do their effort to make sure that our friends and family and neighbors are going to vote, that they're able to vote. It's not over until all the ballots are cast. So just keep working.
That was Christopher Purcell. His group is 43 Alumni for Biden. This is Nathaniel G. Perlman with the Great Battlefield Podcast. You can find us at greatbattlefield.com or by searching for Great Battlefield in places where podcasts are found.